Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, probably a good 95% of the time, sports talk radio is about looking to the future, predicting what's going to happen, looking at schedule releases, debating coaching hires or possible ones, new ADs. But sometime we have to look back. And I told you 20 years ago, today was when the Saints traded away 8 draft picks to select Ricky Williams at number 5 overall in that 1999 NFL draft. We were on the air when it happened here on WWL. It was Buddy D and it was Mike Dettillier. They were on the air together when that broke, and I wrote about it yesterday, and then Mike and I were texting back and forth a little bit, and I asked him to come on and share that story with us, and he's on with us now. And Mike, I know you're doing double duty tonight. You had an hour on Sports Talk. I really appreciate you coming on. And take us back to that moment, Mike. One of the more surreal moments, frankly, in the modern era of the NFL. What was it like?
Well, first things first, we knew about it. We sort of knew on the Monday leading, because at that time the draft was Saturday and Sunday. And Terry O'Neill, who at that time was the Saints salary cap guy, also one of the team executives, we had lunch, Buddy and I had lunch with him at Dini's in Bucktown. And so he's telling us, hey, listen, all this stuff about Mike trading an entire draft for Ricky Williams is accurate. And he said, you know, now we've got to the point where they didn't have a second round pick that year. They had traded for Eddie Kinnison. And he said, we're going to throw in the second round pick next year. And he said, we're in dangerous territory here, guys, if this continues. As the week went along, almost every day, you got an email from Terry saying they've upped the ante. They've upped the ante. And then on Thursday, he calls me and says, listen, we've really upped the ante. But he said, but here's the crazy part. No one has accepted the offer. We've went to Philly. We've went to Cincinnati. We've went to the Redskins. And we've been turned down every time. And he said, you know, the shocking part is not what we're willing to give up, which is outrageous, but the fact that no one's willing to take it. But he wasn't a Charlie Castle-y guy. I gathered that real quickly. And he said, listen, the only team that has really had any sort of interest has been the Redskins. But he said, Castle-y has no clout in this. The Redskins had been sold earlier that year. And he said, Charlie's just waiting to get fired. I don't think he's got any stroke that he can pull this deal off without getting other people involved. So as we get closer to draft day, you know, I know the Saturday morning he told me, listen, we've got to the point where I can't believe this. We're willing to throw in an entire draft and also a 1 and a 3. And they still have had no bites on the apple. He said, we are talking to the Redskins, but he said every time we talk to him, Castle-y says, well, I got to think about it. He thought, Mike Ditka thought that Castle-y was playing poker with him. Actually, Castle-y had no stroke. He had to go back to the owners and say, what are we going to do? This is what's being offered. It was shocking of what they gave up. But Terry had actually kind of set up the scenario of what would happen literally 5 days ahead of time for us. But it was the reaction of the crowd, Seth. I mean, it was like you had just told them that they had all been winners of the Powerball. I mean, that place went – we were doing it at the Saints facilities. That place went crazy in there. And we could see people turning off of Airline Highway, coming in and parking just to party because they had picked Ricky Williams. And that Ricky, Ricky, Ricky chant. I mean, it was deafening. And, you know, in all my time in doing this, and it's over 25 years with WWL, I've never seen a crowd reaction to that. Not with Reggie Bush, I saw the other part of it when they didn't pick Eddie George. We cleared out a bar that night. I mean, completely cleared it out that afternoon after they passed on Eddie. But the play pace went nuts, absolutely nuts. The best part about it was watching, because Mike Ditka had a deal that every draft, when he'd make that pick, he would come on stage and talk about it. If it was the first or the second round pick, Mike was good with that and doing it. We were up on a high stage, and Mike, with his hip issues, could not get up on the stage. They had to have a couple of us, including myself, actually help him on to the stage to get on with us. And Ditka threw his hands up in the air, almost like a politician who had just won, and the place went berserk again. I mean, it was really loud. Then the Ditka chants started going up. Seth, it was unbelievable to hear it. And so Mike throws his hands up, and I mean, almost in the victory sign, almost like Nixon with the V victory sign. He sits down next to me, and before he puts the headsets on, he turns to me and he says, "Detillier," he said, "I think this is how Julius Caesar got started."
Oh my goodness.
He went on and on about how much he wanted Ricky and everything, and I really think Mike thought that Ricky would be his version of Walter Payton. And I think in his heart, he really felt that this football team needed a star and needed somebody to rally around. And he thought Ricky was that guy. Now, he miscalculated, and Ricky was a good NFL player, but he was certainly not Walter Payton and what his impact was for one football team. But we finish, and I mean, again, the crowd is in an uproar now with Ditka, and so he finishes his deal, and he takes his headsets off, and I have a relative of mine that used to play golf with Mike. And Mike leans to him and he says, "Hey, I'm going to play golf with Uncle Harvey." And that was it. Now, listen, Seth, here we got, now, Buddy and I, we got to do 2 days of draft coverage. We don't have a draft choice. All we got is Ricky. Nothing else. So we got an entire day, the Sunday, with no pick at all. But Master P, Percy, got Ricky to come down. And I'm telling you, we must have had a crowd, I'm going to say, of 4,000 to 5,000 people there for Ricky. And that was the first time Ricky had hit the city of New Orleans as a New Orleans Saint. And that was even crazier. I mean, people were really revved up about it. As much as people scream and holler today about it, about how outrageous it was. And it was unbelievable, the bounty that was out there. The two things that stick in my mind was the reaction of everybody of, "Hey, we got Ricky Williams." And you know, at that time, Ricky was an unbelievable talent in what we had seen at University of Texas. But secondly was that I know Terry really hung the flag out on this, that Mike, this is not a running back's world anymore. We got to shore up the quarterback position. We can't keep playing with the Billy Joes of the world. Here's the crazy part. Had the Saints not made that move and had people turned it down, which is even shocking today that somebody would have turned that deal down, the Saints would have picked Cade McNown, the quarterback, left-hander from UCLA, who was a quick kind of 2-3 and done in the NFL. But that's who Mike liked. He had saw him play in a couple games and really kind of fell in love with him. But, Seth, you had to be there to see it. I mean, it was an unbelievable situation to see the reaction. Now, 20 years later, I see some things some of people had said. That wasn't their reaction back then. No, it wasn't close. Everybody kind of likes to rewrite history. But Roe Brown, and I'll never forget this, Roe is working at Channel 6. And before we start the program, Roe walked up to me, and I whispered to him, "Hey, the Saints might be trading up for Ricky Williams." And he said, "What are they getting?" And I said, "Roe, you're not going to believe it." And so he said, "Listen, if there's a deal, I'm coming to get you, and we're going to get this on camera." So we go to break after everything is said and done. And Roe sticks the mic out to me, and he said, "Listen, before you answer, did you break it to this crowd of what they had to give up to get Ricky? And I said, yeah, we did. And he was like, Mike, you know, the Redskins, they picked their pockets clean. I was like, I get it. The best part about it was we find out a little bit later, the Saints were even willing to throw in a first-round pick in 2002 for Ricky Williams had the Redskins rejected the deal.
It's incredible. Talking to Mike D'Antilia, we're turning the clock back 20 years to the day the Saints sent 8 picks away to draft Ricky Williams. What was Buddy D's reaction? You know, the cynic, the skeptic that he was he cheering? Was he on board on this too?
I think initially he was excited that they had a superstar player, but the reality set in after the euphoria kind of died down. Man, how are they going to get this team better without draft picks? And so I think it came into play here. And while Buddy knew that Ricky was a really good player, actually Hokie had told us, hey, listen, he said, I talked to Ricky. He's a strange bird. You know, that was just Hokie's deal. He's a strange bird,
guys. Sounds like Hoke, yeah.
He said, I'm just telling you, he's a strange bird. He said, I don't know how this is all going to work out. And so once we started to pick up all this and then the reality set in that, my goodness, you've given up a ton of picks here for a team that did not have the quarterback situation straightened out. And that was Terry's deal. About get the quarterback situation straightened out, and then we get the star running. What I think set everything off was, in the days leading up into the draft, the Colts were trying to trade Marshall Faulk, a New Orleanian, with a New Orleans-based lawyer in Rocky Arsenault as his agent, and Ditka didn't want to have anything to do with it. And the Colts dealt Marshall off to the Rams for a second and a fifth round pick. And I don't forget Rick Venturi telling me later about it. He was like, Mike, not only did we turn it down, now we got to play this guy twice a year. They were in the same, you know, same difference back then. So he was like, now we got to play this guy twice a year. And we could have gotten him for a 2 and a 5. And you say, well, they didn't have a second, but you could have maneuvered around that. And Marshall would just turned out to be one of the great players in the NFL and a huge part of that greatest show on turf and a New Orleanian. And yet Mike didn't want anything to do with it. And later on, Mike told me this story. I asked him what separated Ricky from Ederson James. And he said, Mike, you know, he said, I'm a good judge of character and I'm a good judge of people. And he said, man, I looked Ricky in the eye, man. He shook my hand real hard. And he said, man, we had a great conversation. He said, I met up with Ederson James, and he said, you know, his handshake, you know, was just kind of clapping hands and that sort of thing. He said, you know, he didn't give me that hard handshake. We didn't connect. And he said, man, that pulled it away from Ricky. Now, you look at both careers. Ederson James is probably going to end up in the NFL Hall of Fame one day for what he did. And but that was Mike, you know, of that one-on-one, that hard handshake, look you in the eyes. I'm going to tell you about this and that. And I think Mike just felt Ricky was Walter Payton part two. And that just didn't happen. And he didn't feel very strong about Ederson James at all. In fact, in one of the press conferences leading up into the draft, he said, why should I want James? I got Troy Davis on this team, who's similar.
That was a miscalculation there, huh?
Yeah, just a tiny one.
Just a tiny one. Mike D'Antilia, bringing us back 20 years. Mike, it's an incredible story, and you did a great job of telling us that story. I really appreciate it. I know our audience does. Again, man, hopefully no more moments like that in the Saints' near future.
Listen,
that's
that,
sure.
That one's unique. That one, because I get asked about it all the time about draft stories, and that certainly sticks out. The Reggie Bush one also certainly was there, and right after Katrina. But this one here for excitement, I've never seen. And you hear stories. I had a Catholic priest tell me that they're doing stuff for First Communion with a group. And He's wanting to, because he's a huge Saints fan, he's wanting to hear what's going on. He's listening. He's got an earpiece in his ear, listening to WWL 870 while he's instructing the kids what to do for First Communion. And when he hears the trade for Ricky Williams, and it's the first time I'm driving back home and I hear myself on ESPN radio, because my deal is that seals the deal. As soon as the Colts picked Edgerton James, I knew that was it. The Saints were going to do it. And I said, that seals the deal. Ricky Williams will be a member of the New Orleans Saints. I actually heard myself say it on ESPN radio while I was driving back. This priest was so excited about the fact he had got Ricky Williams. But we heard hundreds of those type stories about people's reaction to getting Ricky at that moment.
Wow. Faith, family, and football in some order there. No doubt about it. Mike, this was fantastic, man. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
You,
all right.
Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Mike Dettelier taking us back there. At Mike Dettelier on Twitter, NFL and college football analyst for WWL and host of the Second Guest Show. That was incredible. I kind of got goosebumps just listening to that story. 20 years ago, 8 picks the Saints sent away for Ricky Williams. Certainly a moment that will live now in infamy in Saints lore. We'll take a break when we come back. Tony in Australia, is he going to join us? Get his thoughts on the Saints' schedule when we come back here on The Last Lap.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.